Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Bitch, the nigga sticking your chick, pulling tricks, looking slick at all times when I'm flipping, bar sipping, car dipping, Grant Wood grain gripping, still tipping on steel, tipping on blowing on that endo, GameCube, Nintendo, 5% tint, so you can't see up in my window. These niggas don't understand me, cause I'm boss hog on candy, top down at Maxis with a big Glock 9 handy. Pieced up, creased up, stand dressed to impress. Big boss belt buckle under my Michelin S. Oh, Gucci shades up on my braids when I escalate. When I'm riding spree wheel, sliding like an escapade. I got it made, the big boss of the north. Ain't shit change, I still represent what's your house, huh?
I'm tipping, wood grain, I'm gripping. Catch me lane switching with the paint dripping. Turn your neck and your dame missing. Me and Slim, we ain't tripping. I'm figure flipping and surf sipping. Like do or die, I'm pole pimping. Car stop, rims keep spinning. I'm flipping, drop with invisible tops. Hose bob with my drop, step out. I'm shaking the block with 418s. Candy green with 11 screens. My gasoline always supreme. Got Dodo the brand with a pain of lean. It tastes grinding to be a king. It tastes grinding to be a king. First round drop piece coming. Who is Mike Jones coming? Slap shining with the grilling woman. Slap shining with the grilling woman. I'm Mike Jones. Mike
hello,
Jones.
Hello. Welcome to the program.
One and only, you can't control me.
Sorry, Mike, we're starting Jones. A little late, but not really. We got the pussy caper on, I think, at 10:16, so don't yell at me. But also, I understand if you're a little upset, but we will go a little over. We will do our due diligence when it comes to time, because we have a lot to cover.
Is that how it works?
Because I've been, I don't want to say demoted, but, you know, we used to, Off the Rails used to be twice a week, then three times a week, then twice a week, and now it's just once. So
I'll give it a couple months.
Thank you. Till it's zero.
I mean, I didn't say that.
I don't want it to be zero. I really enjoy doing the show, especially on Fridays, because it's just the best way for me to kickstart the weekend is get some shit off my chest that's been building up Monday through Thursday, maybe a little bit of Friday even, and then you just go into the weekend feeling completely free. This is very, I know the word is cathartic, but I feel like Bubba uses a different word. Catharsis. Whatever it may be. Yeah. 813-90-BUBBA if you'd like to call in and contribute to the conversation.
So you're saying it's like a catheter.
Pretty much. So, yesterday was a great day.
Was it
because Lummy had his baby? No.
Obviously. Oh.
But good guess. No, I mean, that's great. That was great. Yeah, you know, but that's not really what I'm referring to. And not that I am the type of person to celebrate other people's misfortunes. Just kidding, I am. No,
oh
but
God.
That is, yeah.
Wow.
Something unfortunate happened to a person.
Aww.
Not health, like I don't wish it, like cancer. I'm not that much a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit, but I have my limits.
Okay.
But when it comes to things like they didn't get what they want, or maybe they lost a job.
Uh-oh.
You know, listen, and I'm not the type where, there's people I'm envious of, sure. But it's one of those things where I get mad at myself for having certain thoughts. Like if I'm jealous, like I had some jealous thoughts yesterday and I go, Anna, stop that.
Okay.
I can kind of self-police.
Okay.
I go, that's not a nice thought. Stop being an angry, bitter piece of shit. But then there's things like this where I openly celebrate with those close to me. Maybe some people have been guessing. I won't confirm or deny, but you're right. Someone that either got me fired directly or was an associate in the effort to get me fired, which, by the way, so grateful. Every fucking day.
Right.
So grateful that, and it's so funny. I was talking to somebody yesterday about this, like the smallest decisions and have the just the most like unimaginable consequences, good and bad. And this was both, because initially when I got fired, I'm like, oh, so that's my career. And now it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just have certain people in the right place at the right time that, you know, you befriended or whatever, that want to do something nice for you. And at the time, you know, that was Seth. He was my dude. We had kept in contact even after he quit at the Bone. We had a great relationship. I mean, I spent, I think, Christmas night at his family's place, like whatever. So when this was going down, when I was in limbo, I was contacting him and he was like, I can talk to Bubba for you. I said, great. But I was still really worried because that to me was network suicide. Like, I knew that all of my contacts that I had garnered for the last 4 years were going to just disappear in an instant. I didn't know I was going to be getting better contacts. I didn't know I was upgrading, like
exactly.
Fucking Beyonce stat. Upgrade me, upgrade me. I didn't know that. So, you know, you're scared of the devil. You're more scared of the devil you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, someone who played a part in me getting terminated for a fucking tweet, which looking back on it, very benign. Like at the time, I'm like, I can't believe I wrote something. And then you start to doubt yourself, because when enough people call you a racist or a bigot or whatever, when I was going through the hurricane epilepsy, like you're a fucking total piece of shit, I hope you die. Like you read that enough and you start to believe it.
Okay.
I was watching...
That's why I've been texting you all that stuff.
I was watching Joe Rogan, as Lemmy calls him.
Okay.
And he had Amanda Knox on. Do you know who that is?
Of course.
The Italian chick. Not the Italian chick, but she was in Italy.
In jail.
Got pinned for her roommate's murder. How long was she in jail for? I didn't hear that
part. 6 or 8 months or something. I didn't watch any of it, so I don't know.
No, but I mean, do you remember from the story?
I don't know. I want to say like...
Was it less than a year? I thought it was more than that.
I don't remember.
Whatever, but she was interrogated to the point, and at the time, she's a 20-year-old exchange student. She said her Italian was probably at the level of a fifth grader, and she said that when she was interrogated,
4 years.
Yeah, I knew it was more than a year. Yeah, so she was in prison for 4 years in an Italian prison and finally was released, and she was saying when she was interrogated, it was to the point where, and they were saying things to her like, try to remember how you murdered her. Like, they weren't even saying you did it. They were just saying, try to remember how you murdered her.
Right.
They say that to you enough, and she was telling Joe this, like, they say that to you enough, you start to think, you start to question your own sanity.
And that's why they like to do interrogations, like, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours long, because...
53 in like, 3 days.
Well, but in one session. But, yeah, and they'll
It was 53 hours, like, in a 3 or 4 day. It was crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, because they break you down until you confess, like, even if you didn't do it.
Yeah. So, again, I don't know quite how they do things in Italy. Obviously, it's a little bit different than how they do things here.
Right.
But she was saying, you know, you get called a murderer enough, you start to question your own sanity. And she's like, well, did I fucking do it?
Like, maybe I blacked out and forgot.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe I was convinced. Maybe I don't remember. Because they were basically pinning her as like this drunken party girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, I think she even had an alibi. Like, she was with her boyfriend who was Italian, and they stumbled on the there was a couple people that stumbled on the body,
mm-hmm.
but she wasn't there, I guess had an alibi, but you know, they basically pinned her as like this drunken slut, and that the girl who died, I forgot what her name was, had told her like, hey, you're a drunken slut, and then that was supposed to anger her, and she was then killed her, like that was the story.
Mm-hmm.
So she was saying, you know, oh, what do we got here? Tommy Radio 7. Am I reading that?
Yep.
What is that? 200 and some bits?
Yep.
Appreciate you. So basically, when enough people call you like a racist or a bigot because you make a dumb tweet, and I'll tell you the tweet right now, like it's not even that fucking bad. So George Floyd, I always tell people it was timely and not tasteful. Okay.
Sure.
George Floyd had just died, and I'm getting red-pilled hard, right? Because the week prior, you're out in the streets protesting because you want to go to work. You're a piece of shit. You're a grandma killer. And guys, I was like, okay, this is how diseases spread. Stay the fuck home. And then a week later, George Floyd dies, and there's people, thousands of people protesting. Obviously, looting. No one's for that. Or, you know, some people, the people that are doing it love it. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Rioting. I'm not for that.
Free shit.
Mm-hmm. And you have the same nurses who were telling people to go the fuck home are applauding people on the streets for protesting racism in America, social justice. And I was just like, what the fuck? The virus isn't woke. What's going on? And at that point, I'm getting like red pill. People are dying of COVID by getting run over by a vehicle, like vehicular manslaughter. And they do an autopsy. Yeah. They have COVID. Oh, they died of COVID. Because mm-hmm. I guess the hospitals, get, you know, we're getting kickbacks. I don't know how you get a kickback from a dead body, but usually you have to die at the hospital or be at the hospital, be admitted. But whatever the case may be, they were just trying to scare the public. Maybe it's just a propaganda thing like, hey, all these people are dying of COVID, but also from buses. So everyone was dying of COVID at the time. I think COVID just entered Florida, like it less than a month in. I remember the first place it hit was Sarasota. I remember reading that and being like, oh, shit, it's here.
There's one answer. Yeah.
It's here. And it was like, there's three. And then there was one girl in Tampa. We had her on. And I remember we were interviewing her. And she got it in like January or February of 2020. We're like, how was it? I can't believe you survived it. Little did we know, literally everyone we know has had COVID now. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was new. It's scary. Whatever. I didn't know shit. Neither did anybody else.
No.
So
I when I had it a year plus later, like, still wasn't fun. And like, I was still like, I wasn't worried at all because I knew I'd be fine. But it's like, you never know.
There's a part of you that's like, this could take a turn for the worse.
But back then, when it was like, I couldn't imagine getting it then.
Yeah. And this bitch was feeling sick in, I think she landed in JFK airport, like from, she was in Italy or Europe or something. Comes back, is in JFK. She's saying, I feel sick as shit. Maybe I shouldn't get on a flight. And whoever the airline just said, yeah, don't fucking worry about it.
Yeah, you're fine.
She gets on the flight, comes to Tampa, and that's, I guess, how they brought it to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Which it would have been here anyway. But
it would have been here anyways. But anyways, so we interview this girl. Her name was like Kaylee or something. She's pretty hot. My buddy Will was all about it. He's like, let's have her on every week. I'm like, okay, we don't need fucking weekly COVID updates. So that was going down, and then the George Floyd thing happens, and obviously that was a huge explosion. We all remember the riots everywhere, but, I mean, it obviously happened in Minneapolis where the incident occurred, and then it just started erupting everywhere, New York, San Francisco, L.A. So then it comes out a week later after George Floyd dies. Now, mind you, in my boss's defense, which I don't often do, mm-hmm. he did call me, and he said, hey, this is kind of the tone we're taking, the take we're having collectively on the bone. And, you know, just be very fucking careful how you manage this.
Okay.
He told me this. I'll admit that. He told me that. Mm. I go, yeah, I got it. He goes, don't fucking start fanning flames. And, you know, I know how you do it. Now, he talked to every single person, but I feel like there was probably more emphasis with me because, you know, they've had issues.
Yeah. Because you're a fucking loose cannon sometimes. That's
sometimes,
why.
Sometimes, yes. And he kind of knows everybody's political stance on the bone. Whether you come out and say, I'm a staunch Republican, probably not. But, you know, you discuss current events, guns, abortions, social justice, race issues. So, you know, he tunes in from time to time, not often when it comes to my show. But when he gets complaints, that's usually when he starts listening
of
to
course,
the show.
Yeah.
So he tells me, hey, like, this is kind of the stance where I go, I totally understand. And I think I even made a few jokes and he like wasn't having it. Like, mm-hmm. don't practice on me so you can do this tonight sort of thing. That's the impression I got. He was not in. I remember like cracking a joke. I'm like, yeah. It's, and he was just like, okay. And like, you got it, Anna? Like, you got it? And I'm like, yeah, I got it. I didn't got it. So
that's real surprising.
So yeah, I make this tweet, which was, by the way, because people ask me all the time. So it came about a week after George Floyd died, it came out that he had COVID, right? And it was, I realized that actually wasn't even my brainchild. I don't want to say, you know, whose brainchild it was, but the idea was born that wouldn't it be interesting if they tried to pin this as a COVID death?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying to this person, do you want to tweet that or should I? Literally said that. I remember having that conversation. Do you want to tweet that or should I? Because it's really fucking funny. That's what I said.
Well, I mean, and to be honest, around that same time, there was a lot of people tweeting basically the same thing.
Probably. And at that time, it was pretty obvious that he did not die of COVID. This was, again, before the toxicology report was released, where it was like, did he die of fentanyl? Did he die from asphyxiation from Chauvin's knee? Again, it was come to the determination that, you know, he was murdered by Derek Chauvin. I would say that Derek Chauvin's knee on the neck certainly didn't help. What exactly killed him at what moment? I don't think you're ever going to know for sure. Mm-mm. But nevertheless, neither good having fentanyl in your system and a knee on your neck. Anyways, I went, oh shit, what if they try to pin this as a COVID death? We should tweet that. That's great. So I posted, if they try to pin George Floyd's death as a COVID death, I'm going to loot myself. Now, not only did I write that, but I also linked an article with his face on it, which I think didn't help. Like seeing, like at least it was explained to me. It was like I was making light of a person's death, like a flippant remark about someone who was brutally murdered. But really, I was trying to say these fucking assholes might try to spin this that he died of COVID, because at that point, people were getting mowed over by SUVs, and they're like, oh, that person died from COVID. It's like, well, no, they died with COVID in a motorcycle accident. Anyways, some people alerted the bosses, because I have a feeling, a sneaking suspicion, that both my bosses, the higher-ups, who both had young children and still do, that they probably were not perusing my Twitter at 11 p.m. at night. I feel like they had better things to do. You know, when Keith Lawless starts following you at like 11:15 at night on a Tuesday, he was probably woken up from slumber and said, hey, we got a situation on our hands. So, again, I don't want to say with full certainty who notified the people, but we can say with, I would say, 95 to 98% certainty who at least alerted the authorities as to who was the snitch, who was the rat. And it could have been a collective of two or three people, I know for sure. And it's like, Anna, how do you know? It's like, well, these people don't really cover their tracks too well. Let's just say that.
No.
They start asking questions. Basically, what happened the day after when I was put on limbo probation, mm-hmm. it was just kind of told to me, hey, don't come in tomorrow. And then that next day, I would call, you know, my bot Brennan would call me and say, don't come in on Thursday or Friday.
Right.
And then on Monday, he called me, don't come in today. And then that's how it was. So every day, I'm literally just shitting myself. Do I have a career? Do I not? Do I have a job? Do I not? Do I have to make an apology? I also have a few other incidents under my belt. Like, what the fuck is going to happen to me? I don't know. So these people didn't cover their tracks too well, because someone started asking questions to the men that I worked with. And it was like, well, how did you know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Asking questions about, like, what's going on with the Anna situation? Literally the next day. How would you know about that?
Sure.
Because nothing's been said. The show hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. Literally just, you know, Johnny and Will walk in the door to do a show. I could have been in the bathroom. Right. You don't know where I am.
And then they fired you in person, right?
No.
Oh.
On Zoom.
Oh, you got fired via Zoom. That must be what they do a lot then, I've heard.
Yeah. You do. Anywho, so one of the guys says to, I think, you know, Will and Johnny, so what's going on with the Anna thing? And they're like, how do you know about that? Why would you know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, it should just be Anna, us, John Brennan, and Keith Lawless, like just those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it wasn't any of the listeners, because the Twitter response was like a few likes and like a comment.
Sure.
It wasn't like an explosion like it was with Hurricane Epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, huh, how would you know about that? And then he's like, oh, you know, just stuff gets around. It's like, no, no.
If you're not involved, things don't just get around. Not that quick.
Yeah, and especially to that person who is a phone screener.
Mm-hmm.
Why would the phone screener know? Like, maybe if Calta or, you know, whatever. But how does a phone screener on a night show know about this? That seems a little bit odd.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few other things that were, you know, suggested and said about me that makes me think that these people were out to get me, perhaps. Anywho, one of the persons involved, I don't know if it's a patient zero. I don't know if it was the guy that made the phone call, or if it was just someone who planted the idea, or someone who was in association, or whatever the case may be. I know it wasn't a listener. I know it was someone that worked there, and I'm pretty fucking sure I know who it is. And this person was causing problems for me and many people at the station. So I found out yesterday that that person no longer has a job. And I feel like it's probably not good to, you know, be celebrating other people's misfortunes, say.
Well, either word works.
Probably. But karma's a bitch. Bitch. That's what I would say. Hmm. Karma's a bitch. I don't even fucking believe in karma, by the way. Do you?
I like caramel.
Okay.
Or is it caramel?
Do you believe in karma?
No.
I don't either.
I mean, it's like kind of like you, though, but like I'll say it, but like I really don't think like it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm a Taurus. Like it's silly. Yeah,
right.
I would like to know. I mean, I'm not that curious. I'm not going to do like a poll or anything, but people who subscribe to zodiac signs, astrology, stuff like that. I can't imagine guys at all. Maybe. I don't know. I've never heard a man say, oh, like, I'm such a Scorpio. Like, I've seen it on dating profiles, but I think that's just they think that they're going to connect with women on that level, which many of them will. I don't get it, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. Excuse me. Probably not the healthiest thing to do to celebrate somebody else's misfortune. Now, to be fair, I do, is it possible to feel bad for someone? Like, intensely bad for someone that you dislike extremely? I would say yes. You know,
hold on, wait, say that again now?
Like, is it possible to feel bad for someone who you extremely dislike? Like, yeah. have sympathy and sympathy for them, but also you despise
can.
Them?
You can, for sure.
Because also, like, they are the way they are for whatever reason, and I can feel bad for the reasons that led them on that trajectory of who they are as a person. And I know that this person has dealt with a lot of hardships in their life, and I think that that's awful and terrible. But at the end of the day, like, that doesn't excuse you for being a fucking asshole.
Right.
You know? And that doesn't excuse you for trying to pin things on me that, in this society, we are not fun and not funny to be pinned as a racist or a bigot, mm-hmm. you know? It's almost worse being called a racist than it is a pedophile, because now pedophiles is like it's a sexual orientation. I'm kidding, kind of, but like...
No, that's true, though.
You know, some people will say, oh, well, that's their fucking orientation, and they're part of the LGBT. It's like, I don't think you want to claim them. I don't think that's a good idea for your organization to be claiming them.
No.
Trans, fine. Gay, fine. Lesbian, fine. Bi, fine. Pedophile, not fine. That's not... No. We don't want to go there. That's not part of the plus.
Not a good look.
It's not part of the plus. Don't add an extra P on that.
More of a negative.
It's more, yeah, it's less of a plus, more of a negative. So I found out this person was let go, and I almost feel guilty. No, I don't. I need to stop lying to you. I don't feel guilty at all. I was really happy about it, because I'm like, that's what you fucking get. That's what you get. You try to fuck with my livelihood. You try to fuck with my career, and a year and some change later, it bit you in the fucking ass. That's what happens. That's what happens. Now, again, I don't believe in karma. I do believe in probability and math. Okay. So if you do enough shit to people, sometimes it comes to bite you back in the ass.
Okay, I'll go with that.
And that's just kind of a numbers game. And there are...
I believe in mathematical karma. that's basically what you just said.
It's more just like probability, but yes, right. I like the way you said it. Can you say that again?
I believe in mathematical karma.
God damn it. It's so fucking funny. I feel like sometimes I impersonate myself, you doing me. It's a weird inception of impersonations.
My impression of you like sounds nothing like you. That's the funniest part.
Yeah, but...
It started out being you in the back of a trike 2,000 feet in the air and needed to pee.
It just kind of evolved into basically everything.
But it kind of...
Bill Barmy grew on 114. But listen, all stereotypes are rooted in truth, so...
Right.
Yeah, so I didn't feel, and then it's one of those things where I'm like, Anna, like, that's really shitty. Like, this person has been through a lot, and they've dealt with a lot emotionally, physically, etc. But also, like I said, it's like I go back and forth. I go, well, also, that doesn't excuse you for being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't excuse you for trying to pin me as something that is almost unfalsifiable. Like, if you're called a racist and people fucking believe it, you can't not, you can't prove you're not a racist.
And like one of the worst looks is to walk around going, I'm not a racist. I have black friends.
Right. And that's like the worst thing that you can say.
Like, yeah. Like, how are you going to prove that you're not a racist?
Exactly. Exactly. It's unfalsifiable. Because then people go, oh, look, she just is going out with the black guy to prove she's not racist, but it's a cover.
Yeah,
oh, look, she
racist.
Has a black kid, but that's she's still racist.
Right.
Like the people that are like one of the guys in the Proud Boys, I think, married a black. He's a white guy, but he married a black woman, had black kids, and people were calling him racist. Yeah. And he's like, I have a black wife and black kids, and like, doesn't mean you're not a racist. It's like. Well, that's a pretty interesting flex to how far are you going to go? You're going to marry a black woman and have black babies, but still people are going to claim that you don't like black people.
I mean,
like, it's just a beard for your racism. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, you have to live 90% of your life pretending that you're not racist.
I hate these kids. These black kids. They're your kids.
Yeah, that's stupid.
What's his name? He's a white guy, but he's kind of like a black comedian. I forget his name, but he...
Clayton Bixby?
No, no. He was like, he's like this. Say his name in chat. It's I forget what his name is, but he said that he married a black woman. He had black kids, and then he said it was always really awkward when he would discipline them in public because people be like, why is this white guy? And he was like white with like blonde hair. Like he couldn't be whiter
because he had a white pointed hat on and a hood and was beating him with a whip. That's
Gary Owen. Thank you. What's your name? Joey Clyde or whatever. Yeah, that's his name. Gary Owen. He married a black woman. And I know Bill Burr also married a black woman, but I was talking about Gary Owen and he would just say it would be really awkward when he'd have
Dave
to.
Dave Chappelle. No, Dave Chappelle did not marry. No, actually
he married a Filipino.
Oh, so, yeah, I was the Asian. I don't know where, but...
Yeah, Filipino.
Okay.
It's like, I've heard that's the Mexico of Asia. Not my words.
Right.
The Mexico of Asia. Do you believe in... Ha, 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 no. Yes, I'm a... You, stop! You don't do that!
What?
You're fucking leading them to be like, haha, no, and
well,
yes,
duh.
I'm a sucker.
I wanted to come out how I like it.
You can't lead the witness.
You absolutely can.
Fuckface.
That's why I did it like that.
All right, we'll take a few phone calls. I have a feeling I know which direction this is going to go, but hello, who's this?
No, I'm not going any direction. It's
okay.
I was just, you kind of hit what I was going to talk about, so I'm just kind of was going to ask you about, isn't it that feeling, because I've been snitched on before. I used to sell things, and it was a no process in the end, but isn't that feeling great when you know the person who told on you, or the person who, that just that feeling you get when the instant karma, which not karma, or just things coming back around, giving
right.
Like the guy who told on me got charged with prostitution.
Hell,
and I'm like,
yeah.
Dude, that is so great. You snitched on me for a little bit of selling trees and you get a prostitution charge.
Yep.
Love it.
It's great, isn't it? It feels good. Yeah. It feels like justice has been served in the universe.
Other people's, like, you know how they say other people's pain causes some people's pleasures? That's so true. So y'all have a good one, man. Have
All
a
right.
good weekend.
Thank you, Track Me. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, he's totally right. And I almost felt bad for, like, a second. First off, when anything happens that's, like, drama-based or whatever, with the bone, with us, or if it's just, like, a point of interest, obviously, like, the dopamine, the reward centers in my brain certainly light up because it's just a point of interest.
Yeah.
But then when it got the extra kicker that it was someone that fucked me over, then it was like, yeah, baby! And it was funny because, like, I was kind of dragging ass yesterday. I was tired because I'm just bad about going to bed on time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, I mean, I think I still had coffee, but I mean, that definitely put a little pep in my step.
We had Celius, remember?
Yeah, we shared a Celius. We'll get into that too after this call, I think. We'll discuss some stuff. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Gary.
Oh, fuck.
Please tell me after the 1 million tweets I've sent that it was SBK.
I cannot confirm or deny. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Thanks, Gare Bear. Love you. Have a great weekend. You know what I'm saying, but I can't say it. Hello, who's this?
I'm calling for the Monster Truck tickets. The correct answer is...
Hey, Iggy, what's up?
What's up, Bucky? I just wanted to say happy birthday to the Garrison family.
I know.
I hate to change the subject.
No.
I just wanted to give my Lum and Ashley some love. I'm a Walker. I like the show, the direction your show is going today. I was hoping for some relationship advice. But
oh, that's coming up next. I'm glad. Thank you for segueing.
Maybe next time. You're doing great.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
I know you're really missing Lum being there with the hype trains and all that. But
I am. But thankfully, we didn't get any today. No, I'm kidding. I mean, we didn't. But
imagine
you know.
That.
Yeah, I know. Lummy is the secret sauce. Can't deny that.
Exactly. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
See you again.
Bye, Eggs. Bye. Yeah. I was going to get into, I mean, not really relationship talk, but I mean, I wish it wasn't. I keep getting hot and cold because I wanted to wear my sweatshirt because I didn't want to be matching because that doesn't lend any.
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't help that everything's, it's like fucking communist China in this bitch now. I can't feel like I can't say anything because there's cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. But at this point, and I don't even know if I really want to or if you even want to talk on the matter or not, but like I'll just say for myself, honestly, completely, and I'm probably sure that you can tell too, like it doesn't bother me the you and I thing,
right?
Because here's the thing, like I got desensitized completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't bother me anymore when people are like, oh, something going on. At first it did, obviously, because I just didn't want any of that. I'd like to have a private life, sort of, you know, shit,
right?
But now, you know, you talk about it enough and it makes everybody uncomfortable, and I'm sorry. Blitz and I have a very good connection, we get along great. And, you know, when Bubba tries to pin us into a corner, at least I'll speak for myself, pin me into a corner and answer questions, it used to make me really uncomfortable on the matter. But listen, it happened the first time, the second time, the 60th time it happens.
Right.
You don't care anymore, really. Yeah.
Like, I'll play with it.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, making out in the parking lot. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of the situation right now. Does it bother you? Does it upset you?
No.
Okay. Just no. We can move on. 813-90 Bubba. But again, I hope, you know, I don't wish the worst on the person that lost their job, but also...
Of course, clearly no.
Also, it's just, you know, what goes around comes around, I suppose.
Mathematical karma!
Yeah, I was definitely on the phone with a few people yesterday kind of asking about, you know, what's going on with contracts and paying out and and just kind of getting an overall idea of the situation over there.
So it's funny because I heard about this as well. So I called a few friends that I know, and the one friend was like kind of implying that like Bubba put me up to this. And I'm like, no.
At that point, Bubba didn't even know.
And I said, I want to be very clear. Like, I don't think Bubba has any idea. I'm just interested for me. Like, I don't care about anything else. Like nobody has asked me to ask you. Like, I just want to know because, like, I want to hear some dirt.
Because I'm a curious person.
Yeah, that's all it was. And I didn't even know.
And you got
Bubba
some
knew.
Information that you then parlayed to me.
A little bit.
Which was nice. So, It's kind of like when someone breaks up with you and then they downgraded, mm-hmm. sort of a thing, mm-hmm. you know, like they are like, no, I don't want you anymore. They discard you. And then they date like some gross white piece of trash with like six kids and they're going mm-hmm. nowhere in their life and they're miserable. That is always fun. It's always fun when not something tragically bad happens to an ex, depending on the ex, I suppose. But like, it's always kind of fun. We're like, oh, you got fat, or like, oh, you're dating a chick and she has like, I don't know, you know, she's got issues or her eyes are too far apart. Whatever the case may be, it's just cool to see that they're not as good as they were doing as when you were in the picture. And that's exactly how the situation is, you know, with me in the bone. And I don't wish, you know, demise of the station. I understand a lot of people's livelihoods rest upon it, but I don't care. You broke up with me, sir, and I'm not happy about it. Although I'm so fucking grateful it happened. Because you kind of learn that, you know, maybe it wasn't as good as it seemed. Mm-hmm. Maybe I wasn't going anywhere. And I can tell you, I knew I wasn't going anywhere when Kelta's contract got renewed in 2019. I remember exactly where I was, and I remember thinking, I gotta get the fuck out of here. And that's when I started applying to jobs all over the place. I almost got picked up in Houston. Didn't go, thankfully. That would have been a fucking... I would have been doing just regular-ass radio.
Hey, are Bubba's glasses up there anywhere?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta run up to him. I'll be right back.
Do your thing. I remember exactly where I was, and I was actually vying for Dinah's position. I don't know if you guys know or remember Dinah, but unfortunately she passed away, I think, last year.
Rest in peace.
Oh, I thought you were leaving.
No. I had to just give him the glasses.
Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting you there. But yeah, so I was vying for that position in Houston. I made it a few interviews in, and then I pulled myself out. And I remember my dad called me a Renaissance woman, as he does from time to time. He's like, wait, how much would you be making? And I told him kind of like a ballpark. And he goes, wow, you're really Renaissance. But what I realized is this, that if you don't like the environment in which you live, you need a, like, I don't even know if there's, sure, there's, everybody has their, you know, price point. But if I'm a millionaire in Detroit, like, I don't care because it sucks to live there 6 to 7 months out of the year.
Right.
Like, it's uncomfortable. So, like, you're not winning when you're just, every day is a struggle sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. When it's gets dark at 4:30 and it's cloudy for 4 months and nobody wants to go out and it's snowing and you're, you know, spinning out on the road every time you try to go to the fucking grocery store. That's, you're not winning. And the most people that live in the Detroit or that live in the Midwest were born and bred there, so they don't know any better, you know.
Sure.
Then there are people like, you know, a few people I know, I don't want to say I escaped because I'm not from there. I'm from San Diego, so I knew good weather. I leave to go to a place that's a shithole, and then I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here ASAP Rock, because it really, it sucks your soul out of you.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to either places, but I can only imagine just from what I've seen that going from California to Detroit weather-wise would just not be cool.
I just
let
remember,
alone all the other shit there.
Yeah. Yeah, on top of the fact that it's a dangerous place to be. Metro Detroit's not that bad. Like, Detroit gets a bad rap, and it is a piece of shit. But, like, a lot of the surrounding areas is, like, you got to think, like, old Motor City money.
Yeah.
So there's places like, if you're from the area, Bloomfield Hills, Birmingham. Royal Oak is really nice. Rochester Hills is really nice. These areas, there's a lot of money in some of the Metro Detroit areas, which is just really bizarre because I think Oakland County, which is the county I lived, I think it was like the second or third most affluent county in the nation. Like, but then you drive 20 minutes south to Detroit City and it looks like Bosnia. It looks like fucking Afghanistan. So nice. It's very confusing. But yeah, if you hate your life in a city, just because, you know, because you're making $80,000-$90,000 a year in a city you hate, I don't think that, to me, that's not a win.
No, not at all.
There's just things that are like more important, like good weather, sunshine. Like, I fucking love Florida so much. I really, really, really do. I never want to leave here as a home base, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I may never be able to leave here because they may be requiring vaccinations for domestic flights, but that's neither here nor there. I'm glad if I have to be stuck anywhere, it's here. I don't want to leave. I love this place so much, and I'm trying to recruit all of my cool friends to come live here. I tell all my other friends this place sucks.
That's okay, good call.
I'm like, hey,
one.
Friend, that's fucking crazy that lives on another planet. It's bad.
Right.
No one is here as
yeah,
hate
they
it.
Should go to like Vegas or something. but you've asked me like haven't you wanted to leave and go live somewhere else? I'm like, well, kind of, but also like, why?
I still don't really get that with you. I mean, I love San Diego. That's a pretty fucking cool place.
It's not Florida though.
Yeah, but it's really like, I would say people probably prefer San Diego to here because it's less humid. Just weather wise, it's the, you cannot beat San Diego.
Humidity
doesn't
bother me.
Okay, but yes, it does. Shut the fuck up. Yes, it does. If it's like super fucking, we've walked outside and you're like, oh God, I can't even fucking breathe. It's like getting choked out by, you know, moisture. But San Diego is fucking dry and it's nice. It's temperate.
I'm not that big of a paper fucking tiger.
Well, it's just uncomfortable is what I'm saying. But I left there because it was just like, I just need to spread my wings and fucking fly, man. I want to fly away, you know? So to me, that's odd because I feel like, and I could be wrong, but I feel like most young people usually, for most people say like right after college, they get kind of the itch to get the fuck away from family. Just to kind of, it's like this rebellious, I want a new experience. I want, like, you feel like you want to grow and it's appropriate because people aren't asking you the questions they're going to ask you in 5 years. What are you doing with your life? What degree are you getting? When I was 22, I graduated. I tried out for the Laker girls. Surprise. I know you guys look at me and you're like, what the fuck? Yeah, I know. I look at my previous life and I go, who was that? I grew up dancing in a dance studio. My mom owned a dance studio, so I was in the studio all the time. And I was captain of the dance team in high school for 2 years. There was like four of us. But yeah, I was captain of the high school. Maybe it was 1 year. I can't remember. Anyways, then I go to UC Santa Barbara, try for the dance team there. I did dance there for 3 years. And we did, that was the first time I actually came to Florida, was with, we did nationals in Orlando.
Okay.
So that was really cool. I'd never been to Florida before. And then I tried out for the Laker girls, which I feel like was kind of the trajectory. So most of the girls, you know, it's like you have this talent or you have this skill that you've been working out since you were 4 years old. And then after you graduate college, you go, well, maybe I'm not good enough to be a professional dancer in terms of like moving to LA and doing music videos and going on tour with artists, because it's super, super competitive and you have a very, very short shelf life.
Yes.
Most of the girls that I knew were like girls that would do like Laker girl stuff for like, not Dallas Cowgirl, but that sort of thing where you're sure. like a cheerleader for a sports team and you dance and shit.
Yeah.
So I go, okay, well, I'm in Santa Barbara. LA is like an hour or some change away. So I decided to do that. Didn't make it very far. And I remember coming back to Santa Barbara. My mom dropped me off and she goes, I can really see you staying here, like making a life here. Santa Barbara is fucking beautiful, by the way. If you haven't been, stunning landscape. Stunning landscape, beautiful. You don't get the LA fucking like, it's just a quieter place. I think Oprah has a house there or in that area. Whatever. It's just really nice. A lot of rich people. So it's just like, oh, the best. Downtown Santa Barbara is built around like a mission or missions, I think. And it's just the landscape is just beautiful, right on the ocean, the cliffs. It's just kind of a small town vibe, but big enough. Anyways. So my mom's like, oh, I can really see you living here, making a life here. And I remember just thinking, and I was saying like, but I'm thinking in my head, fuck that. I got to get out of here.
Now because of that, I'm out.
I go, I got to get out of here. And again, Santa Barbara is probably one of the most beautiful places on the planet to live. But I was like, I got to go. So that's the kind of thing where I'm kind of surprised because I feel like a lot of people, a lot of young people go, wherever I'm from, yeah, it's great, but like I got to go. Like I gotta go do some shit. I want to go on some adventures, and I don't want to do it when I'm 30 because at a 22-year-old brain, 30 seems like fuck. That's old. It is.
Yeah.
So, from that moment, and then like maybe 2 months later, I had a job that I wrote out for the rest of the summer, and then it was just like I got an idea in my head doing laundry one day with a girl that worked there.
Okay.
She's just like, I was like, I think I want to go somewhere. She's like, well, where do you want to go? And we're like, just doing laundry, folding. I'm like, I don't know. She's like, I went to Australia. It was cool. I was like, Australia? I'm like, well, they speak English there. That's kind of cool. Because I didn't want to go to a place and not know the language. And
sure.
So there was only a few places I could really go. I'm like, I don't want to go to fucking Ireland or the UK. It seems shitty.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, man, Australia's cool. They got some like crazy bugs. Her name was Danny Rose. She was just like, yeah, it's crazy bugs and stuff. But, you know, the guys are hot. I was like, say no more. I'll see you there. And I left. And I remember I was on a plane and I was just like, and I'm like, what the f? I have no place to live. I don't know where I'm going.
That's so crazy.
I had a place to stay. My dad's first cousin in like the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got picked up by a friend of his. He took me to this woman's house. I had met her when I was three. And all of a sudden, I'm just like this 22-year-old human. Right. She's like, I remember when you were shitting in your diaper. I'm like, I don't think you're supposed to be shitting at three. You're but like,
yeah, some things don't change.
Yeah, I'm still shitting my pants. Yeah,
little do you know. I just same thing. I just don't wear diapers now.
So for like 3 weeks, I stayed in the suburbs and I would commute almost every day to the city and just was like looking online and then go to the houses, which maybe wasn't the safest thing. And looking around, and I didn't go with anybody. A lot of people travel in two or three where they, you know, have friends and girlfriends or boyfriend. I was just a lone wolf. And I remember to the point where there's my first day in Sydney proper, like Circular Quay, I think it's called, where like the opera house.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like trying to take pictures of myself, and like someone felt bad and was like, do you want me to take a picture of you? And I was like, yeah. And I didn't even have a camera on my phone. I had like a digital camera.
Okay, okay.
Not disposable, but.
Okay, just standalone digital.
Yeah, yeah. And someone took a picture of me, and I just like, I'm like all awkward, like like against the fucking wall. I don't know. It's weird. So that was crazy adventure, man. And I ended up living with a Brazilian drug dealer, as you do.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, that's so crazy.
No,
like
as you do.
As I do. And it was just really funny because like this happens all the time. I'm like, this guy, same with that guy that is it went to prison. I'm like, wow, he has all this money and he like never goes to work. Mm-hmm. And we have just these random visitors. Like it's, then I'm like, oh, he deals drugs. Whatever. Fine. No problem. It's cool. He was hot. And I remember like all of my friends that came to visit me fucked him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he's a player. They're like, I don't care. He's hot. I'm like, all right, have fun.
And he's got lots of cash.
Got lots of cash, and he was never wearing a shirt. I don't remember him wearing a shirt, ever. What? And he wasn't, it was weird. He had a beautiful, beautiful face. Stunning Brazilian man, just deep, like, brown eyes, like, tan skin, like, sandy brown hair. His name was Alan. He was a beautiful man, and he had, like, a six-pack. But you don't really get credit for a six-pack when you're, like, kind of thin.
Yeah.
It's like, they always say, it's like a fat girl with tits. Like, it's just, you don't get points
comes
for
it. Comes to the territory.
Right, correct. So he was like, had washboard abs, but I'm like, yeah, but he eats like, you know.
300 calories a day.
Right, yeah. He has like a granola bar and some ice. Like, that's what he's eating.
Mm-hmm.
He just like was never hungry because he was just, I guess, on drugs
he's all
the time.
Cracked out.
He was dealing marijuana of what I know, but I feel like there was probably more. Like, he never bought groceries and I never saw him eat. So I'm like, what was, he smoked a lot of ciggies though. So maybe that was suppressing the appetite. But anyways, so I like went on just these crazy fucking adventures. So, you know, sometimes when I meet people, I'm like, you didn't have just the urge to be like, and again, it's not like you would leave forever. I know a lot of people who've left for years and then come back to their hometown. Yeah. But, you know, usually there's just a few years where you're just like, you get the itch where you're like, I don't want to fucking be where my mom is. I don't want to be where my dad is. Mm-hmm. I want to be just kind of overwhelmed with like new experiences and just, and then you come back. And some of the greatest part is when you come back and you're a fucking asshole because you think you're a world traveler.
Right.
Those are the most annoying people ever, and I was that person for at least a year of my life.
I bet.
So annoying. So fucking annoying.
Yeah, some things don't change.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. You're annoying, and you still shit yourself.
Yeah. I just remember being like, no one's asking me where I'm from anymore. Like, that was a big thing coming home, because I came back home to San Diego. And
oh, yeah, because over there you had a weird accent.
I had a weird accent. I was a foreigner. I was a farang. Which is, I think that means foreigner in Thai.
I hope that's what that
Farang
means.
Yeah, there is something. We're going to get banned on Twitch. Farang. It means you're a foreigner. So, and people would ask me, and it's funny because like, I could get away with slang that they couldn't. Like, okay. The Aussies couldn't that I met. They were just like, I can't. Like, I remember I would call my one girlfriend, I'd call her like, oh, baby girl, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And she was just like, I can't. It's just not cool when I say it. I'm like, yeah, but I can't say mate because that sounds
right.
Fucking dumb.
Yeah.
I tried it on for size. You
I'm
know?
Sure you did.
The Aussies say it. The Brits say it. They are like, my mate. I'm like, oh, yeah, my mate. I'm like, it's just not.
No.
It's just, it's my friend. It's my bud. It's my gal pal, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just can't pull it off. So, and it to the point where like, you know, when you hear someone with an accent, you start repeating what they're saying because you're like, it just sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
People would do that with me. Like, I remember I was at the beach with some of these Jew bags, I mean, friends. And I was saying like aloe vera and they're like, I just heard them say like aloe.
Mama
like, what?
Marmalade.
Inside Iggy. But yeah, like they would hear me say weird word, like just aloe, and they'd be like aloe. Like it was like, well, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But yeah,
trying to say it all like proper.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, why do you fucking enunciate? I'm like, I don't know. I'm fucking American. It's how we say shit over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why don't you pronounce R's at any at the end of any word ever? Like, I'll meet you at the bar. Yeah, the weather. What? Where does the word end? Like, you know. So that was cool. I liked being different. I was also fresh meat over there
mm-hmm.
for all the Jews over there. They mm-hmm. they loved me because they thought I was just a fucking slut. Little did they know, I was still a virgin.
Right.
Beep. But the thing that did fuck me up over there was, so I'm fresh out of college, right? I'm 22. I was pretty fucking cute, pretty hot, wanted to drink all the fucking time. And I didn't understand the concept of a casual drink. Because much like someone in a starving country when they see food and they're like, oh, when you go to a party and there's still alcohol, you don't have the luxury of having a drink. You need to take shots because you don't know how long that alcohol is going to last.
Okay.
Okay, so when I would go to like, because a lot of times you try to, if you were planning on pre-gaming at a place, it had to be someone you knew, that it was going to be a small group of people where you were going to have alcohol, you know, sorted out. But if you're going to like a big fucking house party, by the time you got there, you didn't know if there was going to be alcohol left. Okay. A lot of times it would run out or be in a bathtub, and I'm like, I'm probably not going to have jungle juice out of a bathtub.
So if you wanted to feel anything, you better drink now.
Right. So much, I had that scarcity mentality anywhere I went. So I'd be like, oh, alcohol. And I would just like take a bunch of shots, which is not the fucking move, obviously, for your liver, your mind, your body, your soul. Yep. So when I came to Australia, the drinking age over there is 18. And all the people my age had been drinking. Think about if you start drinking a few years before you turn 21, obviously. Mm-hmm. They were drinking since they were fucking like 12. Sure. Maybe not that early, but, you know, no, like 13, 11. 14. Yeah, like a cool, yeah, fuck, yeah. 14, I was like, 14, fuck. I didn't do anything when I was 14. So when I got over there, I was just a fucking drunk mess. And to the point where the girls in the group, and it was like a group of like 80 people, you know, have rotated. You just yell out, David, and like 40 people. What? Jared, yeah. Daniel, fucking everybody. What? Goldstein. Yeah. Like, that's literally what it was. I'm like, can we get some new names in this bitch? Mm-hmm. Like, all.
Wasn't David like one of the most popular names in Australia?
It's one of the most popular names among Jews.
Okay.
I don't know about that, but like David, Daniel, Adam, Jared. Like, that was everybody you needed to know. So, when I get over there, I'm just a fucking hot mess. They were like, why can't you just have a glass of wine? I was like, what? Just fucking chug it. What? Chug it. Like, they didn't understand. So I.
Why are you yelling? There's no music playing. We're right here.
I was just in party mode, man. I didn't
chug
know.
Chug it now. Come on. Hurry up. Shut up, bitch. Yeah. No one's even saying anything.
Yeah, so needless to say, the girls thought I had a drinking issue. The guys thought I was super fun. And so one of them told me, like, hey, they think you have a drinking problem. And I'm like, I don't have a drinking problem. Yeah. I'm just American.
I can drink just fine. Watch. I'm no problem.
I had a big spill running in heels one time, and I think that's when... And when everyone's reaction was concern and not laughter, that's when it made me feel bad.
Uh-oh.
I was running to a cab, because this is before Uber, and I had just chugged like a bottle, like this, bottle of a Jaeger bomb. Like, it was just Red Bull and fucking Jaeger, and I mixed it up, and I, like, chugged maybe half of it, and then I decided to run after a cab in heels, and needless to say, I didn't finish the race. I fell down hard.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking bad. So, yeah, I don't know. So, just, I feel like a lot of people, I don't know, that are my age or that I grew up with or that I was close to in college kind of went on... adventures. Some people made bad decisions when they went on adventures. Mm-hmm. Like, I had one friend, his name is James, and he went to China, and he was really excited about it. He's this big Mexican dude, okay? And he goes to fucking Shanghai, and he's kind of, you know, like, I would say, like, culturally sensitive. This is before, like wokeness was in full swing, full effect. But he was just like, I'm so excited to learn about all these cultures and da-da-da. This motherfucker comes visit me in Thailand, and he's like, I fucking hate Chinese people.
Oh, my God.
He's like, the women are gross, and they don't shave their armpits. And he's just like, I thought it was going to be, you know, he's thinking it's going to be like anime porn and shit. And he's like, no. Mm. He's like, Anna, I see people shitting in the streets.
Oh,
I see people defecating in the streets. He goes, the women have never seen a razor a day in their life. He goes, I fucking see hairy armpits everywhere I go. The men are shitting in the street. I don't want to do... I cannot believe I chose this path, because he went to go teach English. Another girl, the girl that I'm going to see get married, she went to South Korea and, you know, showed me a picture of her classroom of the kid she was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what my next question was?
I mean, I know what the next question was. I don't know if we could say it on the air or not.
I'm like, so who's who? Would you be able to point them out in a lineup?
I knew an African-American guy, like not a friend of mine, but like an acquaintance that I knew. And I would talk to him every now and then. And he went to China to teach English and do some writing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 6'1", 6'2". And they would literally walk up to him and be like, can I touch you?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what do you mean? And they're like, we've never seen a black guy before. We want it. Like, we don't know if you're real. We just want to touch. Like, so they like poke his skin and stuff like to see.
That happened to a dance teacher of mine as well. He went on tour. He was this black dude, and he muscular as well.
Okay.
Goes to, I guess, like Tokyo Disneyland or something to do. Okay. He was on tour.
In Japan?
Yeah. And he said that same thing. Like, people would be like, can I, like, just try to grab him?
Yeah.
Like, kids, just like.
Yeah, or what happened, too, is he would say that he'd be walking down the street, and, like, a girl would hand her phone or our camera to her friend, and, like, she would run up to him and, like, take a picture, like, without even asking him or anything.
Rude.
And he'd be like, what? And she's like, and they would either run away.
Back.
Yeah, or basically they'd say that. We've never seen a black guy. I want a picture with, you know, if you're, are you real?
No.
He's like, what the fuck?
I'm in a black suit, bitch.
And he lived there for, like, I think a year, year and a half. So he was used to it, but he said it happened all the time.
And then I wonder about people like Naomi Nagasaki, whatever, the tennis player. Who's half black, half Japanese.
Yeah.
I mean, that must be the interesting kind of situation where, you know, you're not really accepted. Not, I don't want to say you're not accepted as being Asian, but you're really not accepted as being black. And
well,
you feel
they're
like
saying,
no,
oh, you kind of look like us, but you kind of don't.
Like, I see what you're trying to do.
Right.
You missed the mark.
I see what you're going for. I see what you're going for there.
Yeah. I've never been the type of person to be like fully fixated on like my heritage. Some of my cousins are.
Right.
Like, they're like, oh, did you know that a great, and I'm like, let me just stop you right there. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And I had a cousin who went to like our great great grandfather's funeral or a graveside or whatever.
Yep.
Couldn't care less.
I have an uncle that's way into like my family heritage and stuff, mm-hmm. but he produces like a calendar every year with everyone's birthdays, and it's like,
like the family tree. And
yeah, he's really.
Did you know that? Don't care. I really just. Why these people may not even be like, may as well not even be related to me because that's how little I'm invested
well,
in
them. Well, it's so like 15, 20 years ago, it would say like, you know, whatever the date was, so-and-so and so-and-so got married. I'm like, I have no, like, okay, I might know who they are. Like, and there was like a key that said, oh, well, they're so-and-so married so-and-so who is so-and-so's daughter, blah, blah, blah. And now he's got so much stuff on it. It's like, I don't even look at him. Like, I don't know who anybody is.
Right. Why would it even matter? I remember I was listening to NPR one time, and this woman, like, didn't know where she came from. I don't know if she was, like, adopted or something like that, or her dad, like, had all this information, and then he died. Something, some weird story. And she was on, like, CBS News or something, and it's funny, because I looked her up. I'm like, oh, I've seen that woman before. She was, like, half white, half Asian, question mark, like, Southeast Asian.
Okay.
Like, either, she didn't know if she was Indonesian, Mongolian, even though it's not really Southeast, whatever. Mm. You know, Thai. She didn't really fucking know. And she became obsessed with it. And she was taking all of these, like, 23andMe tests, Ancestry, whatever the other ones are.
Yeah.
And the thing about those tests is they're only as accurate as however many other people are taking the test. So if it's like, if you're actually Thai, but you most of your data is from Mongolia,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to place you as like 86% Mongolian or whatever the case may be because they just don't have any Thai data.
Right.
So the more people that take the test globally, the more accurate it becomes. So she was really frustrated because she was taking all these different tests and they all said something different.
Mm-hmm.
So she had no idea like where she belonged. And I was like, why the fuck does she even care? Like,
sure.
It's easy for me to say because I fucking know. Like, I know mm-hmm. that I come from, like, Ashkenazi Jews in Eastern Europe. Some of the family went to South Africa. Some of the family went to America. Some of the family went to Argentina. Like, I just know that, and it's like, that's it. But if I didn't know that, and I was with a bunch of people or, like, was raised by people who didn't look like me, then you're like, why do you have dark skin? Like, why are your eyes brown? Like, that would probably fuck with you as a kid.
Of course.
If you feel like, well, I don't have an in-group. Like, who are my people?
Okay.
You know, because I can understand that feeling of, like, if my parents were black or Asian and I didn't look like them, and it was just this constant question of, like, why don't I fit in? Mm-hmm. Why are people asking me questions? Why do I look different? I could see why someone would become obsessed with that, wanting to know, like, their genetic heritage.
If you were adopted, would you want to find your real parents? Like Brian Matroni.
I don't know. I know he has no interest in it.
Right.
I don't. I think I would want to know who were.
You'd want to look him up, but not meet him.
Maybe not meet him.
Me too.
Because it seems like, I mean, they gave me up for a fucking reason, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't want me. Whether they couldn't afford me or they just didn't want me or whatever.
Yeah. And it's not that they, you know, obviously you're saying that because that's the thing to say, but it's not that they didn't want you. It's they didn't want a responsibility of
yes.
a kid.
Yes. Yeah. But you take that personally.
Of course, because it is you.
It happened to be you. They didn't want a kid, but also that kid is you, and you take it personally.
Sure.
So, yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah, I'd want to know. I don't know if I'd want to meet them.
Yeah, probably the same. I'd probably want to know just like who they are, where they're from. But then also, I mean, that can also be like limiting or, you know, if they're a bunch of criminals and they're all in jail and they all like are alcoholics, then you're is that going to be me?
But you're more of a product of your environment. As far as that,
yes and no, but yeah.
I mean, because your parents are criminals doesn't mean you're going to be a criminal if you're not raised by them at all.
No, those things are like really hard. I would say it's more environment.
Well, what about like health stuff? If you looked it up and it was like
health stuff,
they
is
both
a bit
died
major.
Of like, you know, family disease type shit when they were young. That might be limiting.
Oh shit! Yeah, that would fuck with you.
But it'd be good to know though.
Yeah, so you can prepare, I suppose, for your untimely death.
But I mean, if it was like heart disease or something, you do more stuff to like make sure your heart was healthier.
Yes,
you
know? There's a lot of things that you can do to mitigate bad effect or bad genetics.
Sure.
You know, make sure you stay away from red meat in that case, whatever, whatnot. I would, you know, I don't think I would want to meet people that gave me up.
Right.
But again, I don't really know. Not in that situation. 813-90-BUBBA. Yes, I feel like we barely addressed that Lummy is now a father.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a papa, which is crazy.
It's funny that everyone keeps saying that. They're not saying Ashley's a mother.
Well, Lummy's on the show, so, you know, he's on her mind. And I think
it's not as shocking that Ashley would be a mother.
No, she was meant to do this. Yeah. Bob McGrunt, 214, thank you. Lummy or Ashley, like, no one is like, can Ashley handle? It's like, that bitch is fine.
Of course.
She'll be just fine. Lummy, on the other hand, for those that, you know and love him, which we all do, it just seems like, we make jokes about how he's barely able to take care of himself. How mm-hmm. the fuck is he going to take care of a child?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I think with Ashley's help and guidance that he's going to be just fine. He's going to do a great job.
Do you think this will make him, do you think this will change him as far as like being more responsible or anything like that, or just kind of...
It has to, right?
It doesn't have to. It can make it unravel even more.
Yeah, yeah. If it doesn't, then it's a problem. Like, here's the thing. Like, I'm all about... I don't think that there should be any limits in terms of age regarding your activities, things you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like to get fucked up all the time, you like to go to parties and do drugs and whatnot... If you are 21 with a kid or 41 with a brand new baby, that's inappropriate to do. You should not be doing that if you have a newborn at home.
Right.
If you're 21 or 41 and you don't have kids or your kids are grown up or whatever, and you want to party and do nose candy and all that sort of shit, I have no problem with that either. Like, it's not age dependent for me. It's responsibility dependent for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't, and this is usually where I feel like a lot of problems lie when it comes to having children is, you know, maybe you have a gambling thing or you like to hang out with your boys or, and not just saying boys, but it could be girls even, women too. I'll say it both ways.
Your peeps
or you want to drink a lot or you want to do whatever. It becomes a problem when you have a responsibility waiting for you at home and you can't just do everything that you want to do because you went into this knowing that your life is going to change. Probably the most dramatic change one can have in a life is having a child. Bubba, dreams of being 2X, 300 bits. Thank you. So yeah, it's definitely going to, it has to change you. And if it doesn't, then it's going to cause problems. And then you start to think like, how am I going to fuck my kid up? Because all your hangups, you're probably going to pass on in some capacity to your kid, right? Like my OCD, my kid would see me doing weird shit and be like, oh, that's how you do things. And that's kind of how I got it.
Yeah.
It's genetic, and also it's environmentally induced as well.
Of course.
So it's like, and every person is going to be like a little fucked up because there's no such thing. Normal is a range. But no one just comes out like perfectly fine and I don't carry baggage. It's like part of the human condition is suffering, right? I'm not trying to get really existential, but it's true. Mm-hmm. Part of the human condition is suffering. Everybody's going to deal with breakups or death or sickness or old age or disease, whatever the case may be. Something is going to happen to you in your life and you got to have to have the tools to cope with shit. And that's why I feel like, you know, when we talk about the pacification of America, that's a real fucking problem. Because these people, the younger people, they don't have the skills, the coping mechanisms to deal with shit because they've lived very sanitized lives. And I mean that metaphorically and, you know, physically. But anywho, any other thoughts about Lummy being a papa?
I hope it will change him for the better. Not that he's not responsible now because he is, but...
Yeah, I think it's going to be a different level because you and I talked to my girlfriend who lives in, I don't even know where she lives now. She was living in Germany. She may have moved to Australia.
Okay.
I don't know. But anywho, she just talks about how you see your own life through a different lens because not only are you just living your life, doing your thing, but you're like, these kids are fucking watching me.
She's,
you know, these kids are watching me they will do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to, you know, even if it comes to, and she didn't say this, but, you know, even if it comes down to like talking negatively about yourself, like, you know, I even say to Blitz or I'm like, oh, I got this fucking cellulite here. And like, you need to be fucking careful about how you talk to about yourself in front of your kids. Like, oh, look how fat mommy's arms are. But you can't do that because then the kid's like, oh, well, no, I'm going to have problems because you shouldn't have fat arms. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case may be, the kids pick up on that. So you just have to be so vigilant about how you talk about yourself, how you talk about other people.
Oh, yeah.
And including like how you raise the kids as well. But
especially when they're you know, of talking age and they're, you know, kind of smart, but they don't have the filter. And you're with your friends, and they go, well, mommy called you dumb.
Yeah, that can happen. That can happen.
You know, or worse.
Or worse, a filthy fucking whore.
Yeah.
I know we have to take a break for editing purposes, so we're going to do that now, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
All right.
Bye. Oh, sorry. Whoa. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us. 475, I'll take it. Miss Daunting, feel free to call in. Bub Army Grunt, 314. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. If you'd like to call in, 813-90 Bubba, that is the move. I am going to California. I actually booked the flight, Blitz.
Yay.
I did it. I found a solution with my mother. And then I apologized for the way that I behaved because...
Wait, when did this happen?
Earlier this week, maybe Monday or... I don't remember. Maybe it was last week.
But you found a solution?
Yes. So I'm not going to see her this time around, but I'm going to try to come back in December.
Okay.
For my yearly retreat. I'll get that phone call in just a second. Hang tight. For my yearly retreat. I went on a retreat last week or last year. to my dad's place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. Like, not that I was completely off the grid because I wasn't, but it's just such a good idea to recharge your mind and not have to wake up early for work and not have any responsibilities.
What's that like?
It's nice. It's nice. You know, it's just some people get it a lot more than we do, and I got it more than you did, but it was just nice to have 2 weeks of no responsibilities and sleep. I was sleeping like 9 hours every day. I had trouble falling asleep one night, but every other night it was just like, you know, I went to bed and I try to stay on East Coast time, even in the West Coast. Right.
Okay.
So I'm trying to go to bed at like, you know, 8:39, you know, sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. It was just fucking great. And waking up pretty early, 7, 8 o'clock, everything was pretty much closed because of the pandemic. So it was weirdly just really nice to, we did a lot of hiking despite my father complaining about it, but I just don't get it. I don't get it. He'd be like, you want to go for a hike? I'd be like, yeah. And then the entire hike, his idea, I want to take you to this place. We go. And then he's like, let's turn around. I hate this. I fucking hate this. And then it's, oh, and then I, you know, push him through it. And I'm like, Dad, you're actually fine. He's like, I think so. He goes, I think I'm having a problem with my heart. I go, Dad, you're actually fine. I know this because you have enough energy to bitch about it. And he was like, oh. So we went to this, it's a city in, called San Marcos. It's like a suburb of San Diego. Mm-hmm. And we went on this, like, I mean, it was like 2 hours, but, and it was like all uphill, but it was my dad's fucking idea. We go to the, he's fucking complaining the whole time. And then as soon as we're going downhill and it's over, he goes, wasn't that nice? we should do that again.
And after he's been complaining the whole time.
Complaining the entire time. So, you know, listen, I'm only going for like 2 days and then I'm going to rent a car and go to, a city in Orange County called Tustin, which I don't think I've been to before. And I'm going to go see my friend Jackie get married to Billy.
Of course.
I don't really know his name. Can't remember. But Jack and I were, she's a very sassy girl. She's very sassy. She's very like organized. But weirdly enough, and she always had like a spice to her. I introduced her to Louis C.K. and we started listening to Louis C.K. when we were like 20. And Louis C.K. is pretty spicy when he talks about some stuff. And then, you know, fast forward a decade and a half and she was posting stuff like about white fragility and all that, feeling bad for being a white person sort of stuff. I'm like, Jackie, fuck that. It's just, don't worry about it. But she's just a very kind person. Probably my favorite person to go out with in college, maybe top five for sure. Cause her and I would just strut it up. She's like a girl's girl. You know what I mean? She's all about just like, these are my girlfriends, like hoes before bros sort of a thing, which is nice.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was just always there. You know, if there, you need a shoulder to cry on, she's like, you know, put on some lipstick and put on those fucking pumps. We're going out sort of shit, which I fucking like. You need that kind of
femme boss.
I'm dating Tim Dillon, or not dating, but I'm going to Tim Dillon's wedding. Let's take this phone call. Hello, who's this?
What's
up?
Hey, no, I was just calling because I'll make it quick. Bubba has so many stories, but then when you're off the rails show, like, you have so many fucking stories too.
Yeah. Everything
in
between.
A lot. No, like, I always think about, like, you know, the pussy and the cigarette, and you're like, don't look at their face. Like,
don't look at the face. It'll ruin
you. You lived a life, girl, and I love it.
I know. Thank you. It's
early
30s. Yeah, well, Yes.
Mid.
Nope. You're mid.
Mid 30s.
I'll say early.
Mid 30s.
Early until you hit 38, then it's mid. You know.
Well, I'm 36, so I'm like,
yes, and we're gonna do.
I like to do karma math when it comes to my age.
Mathematical karma?
No, it's just a bullshit you're making up.
What?
Just ignore him. He's just bitter.
You're mid 30s.
He's bitter
because
he's in his late 40s. It's okay.
I'm 36. Yeah. I'm sending my fucking birth certificate.
Yeah, exactly. He's just, he's just bitter. He's upset because he's in his early 60s. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, you actually look great. I was telling my friend the other day. So,
were you telling your friend about me?
No, about Blitz.
Me?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Don't try to take my thunder, bitch! She was saying I look good, not you! The fuck?
Oh, okay. Well, this one's off real quick.
Yeah, now I'm pissed at Blitz. Now we have to do a show together. Thanks, Trickney. I fucking hate this guy.
What did you cause?
Matching him like a goddamn... we're like fucking twins in this bitch. And guess what? I'm Danny DeVito. This fucking sucks.
That's a good movie, though.
Oh, God. All right. Have a great week.
All right.
Guys.
All right. Take
Thanks,
care.
Ashley. Have a good one.
Bye, girl. That's fucking what this is right now.
Yeah, you're Danny DeVito.
I'm fucking Danny DeVito. He's so gross.
The best shit ever that I've seen Danny DeVito do is he did a Always Sunny movie.
Yeah.
And he was naked. Coming out of a couch like it was being born, like he was being born out of a vagina, but it was a couch.
Yeah.
Funniest fucking scene.
It was part of it was a scene from.
It was always, it was always sunny.
Sunny.
Movie.
It's always
it was
funny.
A movie.
It was a movie. I didn't know they made a feature film.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to Cali. It's going to be good. I was telling you before the show, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm pretty savvy in social situations, but I do like to have a crutch going in.
Okay.
I think everybody does, at least a point of reference
like
where
to.
You can walk in and you know somebody or you walk in with somebody so that you aren't just being creepy and alone.
When you're trying to latch onto someone who you don't think, maybe doesn't want you to latch onto them.
Right. So if I walk into this wedding and I don't see anybody I know, what do I do? It's weird if you just go up to a random group and you go, hey, I'm here. I'm hanging out with you, so I don't look weird anymore. That's not the move. So
right.
I was unable to bring a plus one. There are going to be people there that I know, but it's like they have like families and shit. So that, you know, it's just going to be weird to walk in and, you know, hopefully.
You mean this dumb bitch's kid took my plus one?
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going to go down, which is like, it's fine. Whatever. It's fine. But it's just going to be maybe a little bit awkward when I walk in and I'm, you know, you can't rely on the bride, you know, to be your friend. You have you need a guest.
They're a little busy.
They're fucking busy doing shit. And, you know, it'd be great if I was placed at a table where I knew people. But who knows if it's even going to, I think it's in someone's fucking backyard. So I don't know how that's going to go down. Are we going to have tables? Is it going to be just kind of like a buffet and sit wherever? I don't really know. So it's going to be a little bit awkward, but you know, it'll be fine. At least that's what I'm telling myself. But the initial entrance is going to be uncomfortable at best.
You're gonna walk in, they're gonna be like, the party's in the backyard. You're gonna walk around and go, hi, I'm here. Where are the snacks?
Snacks better be in field, right? In, you know, in my view, in my vision. What is it? Field of vision? Is that what I'm trying to say?
Sure.
I better see those snacks upon arrival. I don't want to be hunting for snacks. But here's the move. This is the move, actually. I just figured it out. You walk in, you go to the bar immediately. Go to the bar.
Okay.
Do that, and then that can buy you some time because maybe there's other people also getting drinks. And so you have time to kind of like do one of these. Where the fuck is Michelle?
Somebody?
Like, I know a Michelle and I know an Aaron. And I know, and I think that is all that I know. And I think the other one.
You're going to ask someone, hey, have you seen Michelle? And she's going to go, it's me, dumbass.
No, yeah, maybe. But I know a Michelle and I know an Aaron. That's literally two people. I don't know if I haven't seen either one of them since I graduated college. So, I mean, I look pretty much exactly the same, hot and sexy, but. Sorry. What? What?
Okay, I'll just put a thing. I ignored that. Have you gone to or do you plan on going to any of your high school reunions?
Fuck no.
Okay.
Fuck no. I know people that went to the last one and I heard it was fucking terrible. One of my best friends went
Okay.
And she had a sexy Latin boyfriend that was trying to get co-opted by the gays there. And it was just kind of cheaply done. Apparently, when you are ASB president when you're in high school, so like when
you're
ASB, like American Student Body? Did I make that up? Is that what it is?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Something
I don't
student
know.
Body. ASB, SB, whatever the fuck it is. I just had a brain aneurysm.
Heavy rotation.
Yeah. Apparently, you are responsible for like reunions 20 years down the line,
oh,
which I think is
that.
Unfair. So it's like the ASB and the vice VP.
The what VP. The fuck is wrong with you? Did you just have a stroke? Whoa. And Alexa
the vice
just,
ASB
Alexa
president.
Fucking tuned up too.
Yeah. They're like responsible for reunions literally decades later in life. And it was just funny because I'm like, who's organizing this? And they're like, Valerie Russell. And I'm like, oh, because. Alexa, shut off! Alexa, shut off. Thank you. Bitch. I don't need that shit in my life. But anyways, yeah, apparently fucking Associated.
Oh, are we listening to us?
Thank you. Associated Student Body. Does that make sense? Then American Student, like my brain just went off. Bubba dreams of being 2x 200 bits. So we should see how. I fucking swear to God.
Unplug that hoe.
Die!
To control a video.
No! Game,
oh, no.
You need to connect it first.
Unplug that bitch. No. Oh, you unplugged it. You killed her. You killed Alexa.
Stupid hoe.
Remember to plug it back in, though.
Sorry.
Trying to do a show, Alexa.
It keeps interrupting me. I don't like being interrupted. Stupid bitch.
Teach you to interrupt me, bitch.
Yeah. So anyways, that's going down. And I feel like there's really no good segue to talk about like concentration camps. So I'm not even going to try to
find a
segue. I really wanted to talk about this, about what's going on in China that nobody's talking about.
Yeah, no one cares.
The Uyghurs, I don't know how you pronounce the name. But just to, you know, so we leave on a good note. I know we covered some stuff. We talked about Lummi's baby. We talked about how happy I am that someone has been fired and let go of the position because they've got me fired, those fucking assholes, even though I'm grateful for them every fucking day. Is that possible? Does that make sense where you're like, I'm so grateful that that happened, but also fuck you?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay. Okay, just so, you know, because it's kind of like convoluted.
But you're not still saying that you're grateful because you're really not.
I'm grateful it happened, but also fuck them.
Yeah, because they weren't doing it to like get
to
you.
Better me, right?
No.
It just was happenstance that it worked out in my favor.
Of course,
but they the intention was they were trying to fuck my life up.
Yeah.
So yeah, fuck you. But anyways, China is carrying out Nazi style experiments on Muslims with organ cutout and mystery injections. Chilling report claims. If you guys are unfamiliar with this, it is really fucking interesting that this is going on in the 21st century. And not that, how would you describe China? Is it a first world? It's not a first world country, but it is a first world country. Do you know what I'm saying? It's going to be the leading economic power in 2025. So that is like 3.5 years away.
Mm-hmm.
Less. They will exceed our GDP, our gross domestic product. They will exceed it. They will be the leading economic superpower in the world. Much like, you know, Nick Diaco was told to start learning Mandarin, there was a reason for that. And that's because most trade is done in English now, international commerce. And that's gonna change because China is running shit. Very, very close, almost on par with the United States at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. And they're working at an exponential pace because guess what? They don't care about human rights.
Exactly.
So all these regulations that we
pollution control,
they don't give a fuck.
Nope.
Which is kind of great for them, like, because it's just if you have a one track mind and it is to get China on top on the global stage, that's the way to do it. Because if you have all these regulations and rules and you have to go through the parliament, the Congress, and you have to go through, you know, the Supreme Court and all this shit, there's no checks and balances in the Chinese Communist Party. It's like, Xi Jinping or whatever, Xi Jinping, he wants to do it. It fucking happens. That's what goes down.
Of course.
So, it's kind of hard to place, like, is China a first world country? Like, I don't know. In Beijing, yeah. Yes. But then most of the country are these really poor rural areas where people don't have running water.
Less so anymore. Because like
because most of them are flocking to the urban centers, and there's a lot of like cities that have over like I don't know like 10 million people or something crazy.
Right. So I know this because of kind of working in the firework industry. The past like 10 years, they're having a hard time getting people to work for pennies on the dollar, doing some dangerous shit like, out in the middle of nowhere, because any like kid basically now is like, no, I'm gonna go work for a factory somewhere making somewhat decent money, not out here messing with explosives where I could fucking die if I turn drop something.
And they're
having a hard time getting anyone to work.
So for those that don't know, on top of the heavy surveillance state that the Chinese people have to endure, no one suffers more under the communist Chinese regime than the Chinese people. I really have
sure.
So when I talk about my problems with China, know that I'm not talking about my problems with the Chinese people, even though the women refuse to use razors. That's a separate issue. But my main issue when I talk about China is obviously the government. My boyfriend Dave Smith was talking about something that was kind of interesting. He said, in places that are in countries where it's less authoritarian, where you don't have just one party that's in control, so like communist China, so the opposite of that would be like the United States, where you have the Democrats and Republicans. He's saying that there's far less of a chance of there being a revolution, because it swings right, it swings left, it swings blue, it swings red, and nothing really changes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this, it's this illusion of change, right? Where we're like, oh, finally we have a Democrat in office, or oh, thank God, now we have a Republican. When in actuality, it's the same insulated group of bureaucrats, right? It's the deep state, whatever you want to call it. It's the people who are just kind of in the system, the people who have legacy, the Bushes, the Kennedys, the Clintons, shit like that. Those people that are going to a Bohemian Grove, like that kind of elite class of the ruling class, and nothing really changes. It's a fake. It's a fake depiction of change, right? So we think like, oh, Obama, oh, Bush, oh, it's just the same shit. These people are just like hungry warmongers that are just, pumping the military industrial complex. But they'll throw a kicker where it's like, gays can marry. And you're like, woo, which is great. But also like, is that really changing any? I mean, I guess if you're gay, but you understand what I'm saying. Nothing's really changing fundamentally about like, poverty or how we help veterans or, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So when you have one party in power, there's a much higher chance that there's going to be a revolution and a total change, because when people revolt, there's no like other part. There's going to be a just overhaul of how they do things. But when you have a system like America does, where it's Democrats and Republicans, like two parties where it's constantly in flux, you're much less likely to have a revolution. So good or bad, I don't know how you want to interpret that, but it seems like there's less ability for change, less mobility for change, because it's just you pick a group, and then if shit's going bad, you blame that group, and then the next 8 years it's red, and the next 8 years it's blue, and it just kind of goes back and forth. So take it as you will, but in China they can just pretty much do whatever the fuck they want, and people are so scared, because I'm sure you can go to prison for not that much in China. But what's really terrifying is what they're doing, I think, in the northeastern part of the country. Don't quote me on that geographically, but with the Uyghurs, and this has been happening, what would you say, like 5-10 years at least?
I mean, well, it's
maybe
probably
five
been happening for a long
yeah
time,
but they're calling these camps re-education camps, essentially concentration camps.
Pretty much.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to make China ethnically not monogamous. What's the word I'm looking for? Uniform, so that there's only one ethnic group, which is the Hans people.
Right.
So if you're a Uyghur, that's a different ethnic group, and also they're Muslim, which the Chinese, I guess, aren't thrilled about. So what they're doing, which is really fucking horrendous, is they're taking people from their villages or whatever, and they're putting them in these concentration camps. And, I mean, these people, as an ethnic group, will be eradicated in the next generation, because they're sterilizing them. They're, forcing them to take pills, which they tell them are vitamins, and they have to take them like once every few weeks, which doesn't make sense. You don't take vitamin C once every 3 weeks.
No.
And they're it's sterilizing the men. I think it's also sterilizing the women. It says here, inmates in the communist regime's network of re-education camps are allegedly being given mysterious pills, injections, and even having organs removed while still alive. So a lot of this stuff that like Dr. Mengele did in the Nazi party in the 30s and the 40s with the Jews, it's kind of resemblant of that. It says Nazi doctors conduct, okay, we know that, but it's allegedly similar sinister practices going on today on Uyghurs and other political prisoners who are rounded up and bused to camps in China. According to Western estimates, between 1 million and 2 million people from northwestern province of Xinjiang have been incarcerated at these facilities during Beijing's campaign of oppression. I think I don't know if it was Vice or not, but I followed these people who tried to find these education camps, re-education camps.
Okay.
They got that shit on lock, man. And I don't want to say it doesn't look that bad from the outside, but it's just, I think that the one that I saw, it was just like kids. And so they're kind of indoctrinating them, like singing stuff about China, this, that, and the other. But beyond that, and I think I heard Yeomi Park, the North Korean defector, she was talking about shit like this, that they're just giving people pills that sterilize them so that, they have to re-educate one generation, and then after that, they're done.
Now, are they having, is the rest of China having a problem, quote unquote, with them moving into that part of China, or are they still staying in their own little province area?
Wait, what? Say that again?
Because, the Uyghurs,
it's not a it's not a separate country. They're still part of China.
No, I know that, but they're still like far away from like, quote unquote, mainland China. They're up in the corner.
Mm-hmm. And so, would the rest of China have a problem with that? No. I don't think the rest of China has a choice. Like, you don't do anything against the government. You're so scared of the government.
I know, but I mean, like,
because if you come out and you go, stop doing that to the Uyghurs, all of a sudden you go missing.
No, I know, but like, what's like, why have all of a sudden they started doing this?
Oh, like why all of a sudden have they? I don't know. I don't know how long has Xi Jinping been in power for? Because I think that this is just like a continuation of something that that's been in effect for probably the last 60 years about getting China on top. And then it's kind of just like when you're getting in shape and stuff and you're trying to dial it in, you're like, okay, I lost some weight. I'm going to cut the hair and I'm going to put on the shoes. I feel like that's what they were doing. They were trying to, become more, less of a rural agrarian society and become more industrialized. They were doing that. And they're like, man, this is really working. This is going really well. Okay. We'll put more people in factories.
And that was just the next step.
And then the next step is like, okay, let's become ethnically uniform. So let's get rid of these assholes because they're kind of causing some problems. Let's put in more cameras. So they're just kind of like dialing it in to become like the most powerful country, I think.
Okay.
That would, because they probably had some other shit. You know what's really fucking weird is
because although it's part of their country, attached to their country, I mean, it's kind of like their Alaska in a way where it's like, it's up there, but whatever.
I mean, it's not like it's separate.
I know.
It's attached. And also, like, the Chinese people, what are they going to fucking do? They say one thing and then it's like, okay, now your credit score is zero and you go to jail.
Yeah.
So they're just like, fuck it. They're running shit over there like it's fucking not the Nazi party. Okay. Like the people are extremely scared of the government. They cannot speak out against the government. Remember, like there were a few whistleblower doctors or researchers that were like, we're doing gain of function.
Yeah.
And then they're gone. And then it's like, and then it was like, we knew that this was transmissible human. And they're gone. And then they just disappear. And then when they come back, they go, I'm so sorry. And they're just like a fucking robot, a shell of the person they used to be, because they're probably drugged, beaten, tortured. And it's like, we're going to kill your whole fucking family. Like, they don't care over there. So it's just a really fucking sad situation that's going on over there. And it's like, do you ask yourself, maybe if you're a business person, maybe I shouldn't do business with China, even though they make my textiles for a quarter of the cost that I could get made on U.S. soil.
I mean, you have to.
You go, maybe that's not the move. Maybe we shouldn't be trading with a place that is putting its own people into concentration camps just because of their ethnicity and the god they worship. Like, that's probably not a good idea to help fund essentially U.S. dollars inadvertently and indirectly, and dollars from all over the world. But, these concentration camps aren't free. They need to be built with money that they're getting from somewhere. And if we're doing business with these people, is it something that we should kind of you know, look at. But at the end of the day,
makes sense. But if you run a business and you go, you know what, you know, they shouldn't be doing that to their people, so I'm gonna go ahead and have it made somewhere else, and then everyone you work with goes, well, hold on, we made $20 million last year, and because of your dumbass idea about not going to China, we made $3 million this year. Now what are we going to do?
Right.
Go back to China.
Yeah. Like, and at the end of the day, like, if you don't do business with them, someone else will.
Exactly.
So you do it. I mean, oftentimes I'll look at, you know, should I buy? And I'm like, do I even want to look at the tag?
Yeah.
What horrible country was my, like, faux leather, vegan leather purse made in?
Well, it's like, I'm not a big, you know, a rare precious metals, all that, but I only buy blood diamonds.
Me too.
Yeah.
As you can tell, I love jewelry.
Me too.
Because I have beautiful nails and hands. But
I
have
my watch on today.
Yeah, you're completely nude. But I think about that, and I'll see the tag as something I bought. It's like,
mm-hmm.
made in China, made in Cambodia, made in Indonesia,
Myanmar,
India. I'm like, I know an 11-year-old has one less finger because they made this bag. And I
wear
proudly.
Is that why you buy two of them?
And that's why I buy six.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think that, again, it's like one of those things where you're like, yeah, but like, what do you got to do? Can't care about everything. And that's the thing, is that
that's
people don't understand is like, and I'm not going to say, you know, throw Blitz under the bus, but we were talking about something that was kind of tragic yesterday. And he's like, well, can I be honest? I don't give a fuck. And I go, wow. I mean, neither do I, but I have the courtesy not to say it out loud. But it's one of those things where...
The sad thing is I have that so often. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where there's so many egregious and sad things that are going on simultaneously all of the time that if you were to get upset over more than one or two, you won't be able to function because life is tragically sad.
Especially if you like have no control over any of that stuff.
Yes, but also more so it's that like it's so disconnected. Like these people are on the other side of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's an American, like we're so invested in this Gabby Petito thing and we definitely have a lot more compassion for her and what she's going through versus like possibly a million people that are possibly going through genocide right now. So when you kind of take the scope out and go, well, which one is worse? You go, well, clearly, you know, millions of people getting sterilized and organs removed and getting murdered and re-educated in camps is a lot worse because that involves a lot more suffering. Mm-hmm. But that's all the way in China. And Gabby lives in like Sarasota area. So I'm more invested in that, you know, which is totally fucking normal.
That's
and you shouldn't feel bad for it. That's just kind of how the human brain computes things is that you have more compassion for, first of all, better looking people. Holy shit. They're saying this is a white thing. I think this is and maybe that's, I can't confirm or deny. I think it's more compassion because she's cute. If she was if she was gross, no one would care. But she's cute.
How many people go missing every day?
I mean, hundreds, I imagine.
I would think so. I mean, look, at a minimum, 100.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure it's way more than that. You don't hear, like, none of that on the news.
Yeah. And again, it's like, well, you're going to report every single one?
I get that.
So why this story? Is it because, you know, she's white? Okay. Is it because she's attractive?
I think that's
more, you know, what it is. And also, it's not just that someone went missing. It's like, there's also turns. Like, he returned without her.
Yeah,
like,
the story is weird, of course.
The story is interesting. Okay, yeah. So he came home, and she's nowhere to be found, and he's not talking to the police. I'm interested.
He came home in her van.
In her fucking van.
Yeah.
And they're like, where's Gabby? And he goes,
Who?
Ah.
Who? Gabby who?
Then he goes missing. Like, this is, now there's manhunt for him. Like, this is interesting shit. I'm invested in the story. I want to see how it's going to pan out. Do you think they're going to find him by the end of the weekend?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Dead or alive.
Find that little bastard.
Dead
I think he's alive. And I also, I think B. Fennel was saying this, the woman in chat. I too was thinking the same thing. I think he's getting help. Like someone is aiding him.
Well, so I think that's part of why they did the arrest warrant. So up until the arrest warrant, his attorney or whatever could help him. Now the attorney cannot. I mean, the attorney has to almost immediately plan for him to turn himself in now because of the arrest warrant.
Wait, explain that. Up until that point, the attorney could give him counsel.
He's just a person of interest.
Yeah.
So the attorney can be like, look, stay at my house. I won't tell anybody. Like, he could do all that.
But he now could, he would be legally responsible if he was hiding him or something.
He would get in trouble from the bar. He could get, like, disbarred and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, because that happened kind of, like, last night-ish, the attorney has, like, probably till today, like, if he's doing any, if he's harboring him at all, like, who knows? But if that's the case, then, he, like, today he's got to be contacting the FBI or whoever that was in Wyoming and say, hey, we want to turn ourselves in. Here's, you know, here's the deal.
So let me just ask you this, because you know a lot more about this than I do. So if he was hiding him and there was a, like the manhunt was going on a few days ago and they're spending thousands of maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to find him and the attorney knew where he was, but he wasn't a suspect yet.
Oh, well.
Okay. All right. I didn't have to say anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't morally obligated.
Now,
or
yeah.
Legally obligated.
Yeah. Now, if they came to the attorney, which they probably did, and said, hey, do you know where he's at? I don't know what he's allowed to say or not. Because they're not, he's not under arrest. They just want to talk to him, which they don't, I mean, they don't legally have the right to, I mean, they have the right to ask, but, but now he's, which also, I read the arrest warrant, and kind of like what Dan said, it might be complete bullshit, because it said that he used her credit card and debit card to buy a bunch of stuff on like the 30th. She might have been with him or been around or said, yeah, go ahead and do it. Like,
yeah.
Nobody really knows.
Here's my card, go take care of it.
Yeah. Chances are, probably not.
Probably not.
But
that's not unheard of.
No, but they're using that. They're using credit card fraud to get him.
They're just trying to get something.
Yeah. Because now if somebody's harboring him, they're not allowed to.
Mm.
So I'm sure that's
part of
it. So
anybody who's trying to protect him is now going to be legally held responsible as well.
Lawyers,
for aiding and abetting.
Lawyers and stuff, yeah. And probably like if his parents and stuff, like now they can ask the parents different questions and possibly get them in trouble.
Good. All right. Well, hopefully we'll find him by the end of the weekend, hopefully alive, because I think that would just, if I can be honest, that would just be better for the story.
Of course.
Because then we get some questions, we get a trial. If he's dead, it's like,
yeah,
it kind of kills the fun.
Well, I think.
Does it kill the fun? It kind of kills the fun.
It does. I think if he's alive, which I do at this point think he is, he's not going to talk at all. He won't take the stand. He won't talk.
But, you know, more details will come out with the coming days and weeks and the autopsy, the official autopsy, which I think happens on Tuesday. So we'll see what happens.
They'll hopefully have a cause of death.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yep.
Thank you for all the bits. Thank you for listening, all 415 of you that made it to the end. Appreciate you. Blitz, thank you for everything you do, as
Absolutely.
Always. Appreciate
yep,
it.
You.
And have a great weekend. We'll see you guys Monday morning. Bye.
Bye.
Debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com.